are in Acts, or I'm sorry, Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And you can read along with me. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you now to overwhelm us with your presence and the preaching of your word. God, I pray that you'd lift any heaviness that's on people's hearts. God, any heaviness that is brought here by the cares of this world, just the difficult things that are happening in life. And God, help us to really receive from you today, God, to open up our hearts and really listen with our hearts, Lord. I ask that you would anoint me to preach your word, Lord. You know every need in this place. God, you can meet every need according to your riches and glory. And I pray even during the preaching of this word that you would move forward and touch each person's heart, that you would do miracles in the preaching of your word. God, we're asking you to manifest your presence today in this place so that your name would be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am continuing on with my prayer series. It's kind of getting broken up as things are happening in this church, the life of this church. But I will be going into prayer for quite some time. It's exciting for me to plan ahead and look ahead at what is going on. Am I getting a ring? Can we turn that down just a hair? Sounds like I'm a little hot. Lisa would agree with that, right? Can't believe he said that from the pulpit. Prayer. We're going to continue on with prayer. And you know what the easiest thing about prayer is? Quitting. Quitting. That's the easiest thing about prayer, is to quit praying. You know, what happens is we look and we see what's happening, or really what's not happening. And we become discouraged. We've been praying for a while and we don't see change. We don't see anything happening. And we maybe feel like, and I say this because this is from our perspective, not God's or what's really happening, we feel like it, or it seems like God is not hearing me. You know, the term that many Christians use is, I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. They're just coming back at me. There's nothing happening. That God doesn't care, because if God cared, certainly he would move on this. And God is not responding. So what we do is we quit. We stop praying. For whatever reason, the enemy comes in there and he convinces us that, no, this is not doing any good. Just stop. And what we need to understand is there's promises in the Word of God that say that a Christian's prayer is never unheard, nor is it unanswered. In other words, a believer's prayer is always heard by God and is always, always answered in a way that our loving Father sees as best. Okay? That's the key, that our loving Father sees as best. The old school show, Father Knows Best, that's what we're resting on. God knows best. Now the foundation for a Christian's, a believer's prayer is sonship, not friendship. Take a look at God's word. We're going to go back. When we read this little section in Luke, this is a wonderful chapter on prayer. It starts out with the disciples asking Jesus, teach us how to pray, and Jesus says, okay, here we go, pray like this. And then we have what we call the Lord's Prayer. And then right after that, we have this section in Luke. So the whole thing is focusing on prayer. So Jesus comes out of the Lord's Prayer, our Father, and he comes into this story, or this parable. Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his imprudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. So he's paralleling. He's saying, listen, you have a friend, and you badger your friend. You keep asking him until he finally gives up. Okay? And so we always think that this is a picture of God, that God doesn't want to bless, that God is this grouchy guy in bed that we're bothering every time we pray. And so if we keep badgering him, God will finally give in, like this neighbor. That's not the picture that we see here. That's not the picture. Because even though an earthly friend would help, whatever the motive, the parallel here is, but how much more would a father help his children? Because it goes into that after the section that we read. How much more would a father help his children? A father would respond differently than a friend. A friend would finally give up because, all right, fine, just leave me alone. That's not what God is like. And that's not what the purpose of this particular parable is about. So what we see instead is that God is our Father, our Heavenly Father, if we're a believer today, and He loves to respond to His children's requests. And that's key. That's key. The basis for God responding to our prayer is sonship, not friendship, even though obviously they go together. But the sonship is the foundation. The sonship, the fact that what happens is we can see in here in Romans chapter 8, John did a great job preaching on Romans last week, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. What does that mean? That means this, that because of our sin, we are enemies of God, or we were enemies of God, separated from God because of our sin. And our sin deserved punishment. Like I always say, if you break the laws of the land, in other words, you steal something or you rob someone or whatever it might be, the crime that you committed, you broke a law, and you deserve punishment for that law, for breaking that law. And the same thing with our spiritual life. If we break God's laws, the Bible says that if you lied even once or stole just a penny, you've broken God's laws. Then that requires a punishment for it. We say, well, wow, that's pretty extreme. Well, God is a holy God. And so what happens is we've sinned against God. We've broken His laws. And the Bible very clearly says, if we've done that, then there's a punishment that we deserve. Okay? Because we broke the law. And it's a righteous punishment. God, it's a good thing that God punishing sin. We just don't want Him to punish ours many times. And so what happens is our sin deserves punishment, and now we are enemies of God. But what happened is this. Jesus had came from heaven, fully God, fully man, and He lived a sinless life. Not once did He lie. Not once did He steal anything. He perfectly lived the life that we were required to live in order to go to heaven. So He did for us what we couldn't do. He lived a sinless life, and then He went to the cross. And it says that on the cross, He was punished for the sins of people who would receive the gift of salvation. So that means that if we become a believer today by God's grace and God's mercy, and we receive that gift of salvation, that our sin wasn't just pushed aside, it was punished. But Jesus received that punishment. And so what happens is when we say, God, forgive me, I am guilty of sinning. And that, and my sin deserves punishment. I'm asking you to forgive me, God. I'm asking you to grant me salvation. Give me, God, the gift of salvation that Jesus paid for on the cross. And what happens right then is something really great. You go from being the enemy of God to being a child of God. Adopted into the family. Now you see what happened here is suddenly that relationship between you and God has changed. Instead of an enemy of God, now we become father-child. That relationship, that adoption into the family. And that changes, that dynamic changes everything, especially when it comes to prayer. Now we are children of the Father, so when we go to Him and pray and make requests, it's as if it is a child to their father. And you can see how that changes the dynamic of prayer and why God hears the prayers of believers, Christians, in a different manner than He does somebody who doesn't know Him. So that's what we have here, that we have received the spirit of adoption as sons. We're adopted into the kingdom by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And that changes everything when it comes to prayer. Because now we're going to Daddy for requests. Daddy, would you help me? Would you take this situation and help me? And then what happens in the backside of this particular area, we're going to get to this, is that if an earthly father would help their children, okay, which they should, and they usually do, if an earthly friend, or if an earthly father would want to bless their children, how much more our heavenly Father, who is unlimited in his power, unlimited in his resources, how much more would a heavenly Father be able to and desire to bless his children? And that's the point in this next section of Scripture. This is if you go in this chapter 11, you'll see that you have the parallel of a friend badgering a friend, and then we have seek and ask and knock. And then finally, this part. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? You go, what is that about? Well, what happened is this. This is a picture of, it wouldn't be a live serpent. It'd be like a piece of meat, but it would be a serpent, a snake. Now, this is significant because the Jews were told not to eat snakes. So what this is a picture of is spiritual defilement. That's what it is. It's a picture of, you would a father give something to his child that would defile them spiritually? And again, we're paralleling this to what God is doing. And then it goes on. If you then, or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. You go, well, they don't even look alike. If you get a large scorpion, when they're sleeping, they curl up into a ball. So you could mistake that. And so now we have a physical danger. Okay? Would a father knowingly give his child a serpent instead of fish? Would a father give their child something dangerous, possibly deadly to them? Well, the answer is no. No. And so what we see Jesus doing here, because he's the one giving these parallels, is that he's saying, no, that wouldn't happen. He's comparing the lesser and saying, but God is even greater. And it goes on. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So there's a parallel here. He's saying, you guys, as fathers, you know what it's like. You don't want to hurt your children. But as much as you're going to give good gifts, the Heavenly Father is going to give even greater gifts. That's who he is. Okay, so then why does God postpone the answers to prayer, or why does he say no? Why? If that's who God is, I'm confused. If he's supposed to be so great, so good, then why don't I get what I want? Here's why. Some of you will understand this at a greater depth than others, because some of you are parents and some of you are not. Especially parents of older children, teenagers. If you've walked through those waters, you understand this. Probably more so is this. Like a parent, God will not withhold something because he is stingy, but rather because his motivation is love and concern for our welfare and his glory. He's going to withhold things from us because he realizes they are not the best for us. He's doing what is best for us, even though we don't understand why it's best. He will delay an answer because he knows it's best to delay that answer. He will say no because he knows that's the best answer to your prayer. We pray and we don't get the house. That was the perfect house for us. We pray and we think this is the perfect job. God, it couldn't be any better. Clearly, this is your will. God, this person is the perfect spouse for me. Surely, God, this is your hand. And the answer comes back, no, or we don't hear it. We wonder, what's going on, God? Well, we have to default to the fact that He is our Father, and He knows best. And you know what? He's going to give us what's best, and we'll most glorify His name. Many requests that we make are short-sighted. They're selfish. We don't have the whole picture. We don't know what those neighbors are like, possibly. We don't understand the job. You know, if you got this job, all of a sudden the Father knows that, you know what, there's going to be some elements there that are going to really pull you away from your faith, cause you to struggle in areas that are not good. You don't understand the whole picture, but the Father does. And so He's looking at it, He's saying, you know what, trust me, hope in me, believe that I have your best in mind for my glory. And some of those prayers are short-sighted, they're selfish, and if they were granted, they would be harmful rather than a blessing to us. We have to believe that. I remember my little boy, one of my boys, he was a young pup. He decided he needed to have a knife. And he didn't want a little knife. He wanted a big knife. You know, we went to the store. He's, Dad, I want one of those. And I said to him, I said, no, son, I don't think so. Why did I say no? Was I just being stingy? Well, no. He wasn't ready for a knife. He wasn't ready for a knife. Later, as he grew up, he did get knives from me. And some people might freak out, but we did. He learned how to use them. And he threw it up, tried to throw it up against a tree, and it bent. And he learned a lot of lessons from that. But that year, I'll tell you what I did get him. I walked across the street because it was the Apple Fest, and they had all those merchants there, and they had this little plastic, hard plastic knife where the blade, when you went like this, the blade went into the handle. And he thought that was like the coolest thing in the whole world. See, I wanted to bless my son, but I knew it wouldn't be good for him to have a real knife. Not at that time. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. Because of who He was. And you know what? That's the way our God is. I prayed a foolish prayer. Sometimes we pray foolish prayers because we are ignorant. And I pray, Lord, please don't answer that prayer that I prayed for years and years ago. You know what that prayer was? Lord, please let me live to be 100. Man, I'm in my 30s. I'm feeling good. I say, yeah, I want to live to be 100. And now I'm in my 50s, I'm going, man, this old body is starting to break down. I hope I don't live that long. You see, God in His wisdom knows. We make these requests, and He knows what is best. He is sovereign, and He is all wise. So we make these requests of God. Say, Lord, please do this. And we entrust Him to make the rest, the correct response. Because of who He is. We're so short-sighted. We don't see things. We don't understand things. God not only holds our lives in His hands, but He holds the future. He knows what is going to happen in this world. And He knows how He wants to use us to glorify His name. So a lot of times it's not just what we want, it's what God is going to do in and through our lives to glorify His name. He says, you know, that'll get in the way. So if my heart is to delight in Christ and honor Him in every way, then that's what I should want more than anything else, even my own desires. God, I want to glorify You. Trusting and infinitely, we need to trust that our infinitely wise God will always answer our prayer. He always answers our prayer. It may not be quickly. It may not be in our timing, because our timing is perfect, right? It may not be in our timing, or even with a yes, but we can be confident that all of our prayer will always be answered, and it will be answered in a way that will ultimately give God glory and will be the best for us. Take a look at this quote I found. It's from, I think, an unknown Confederate soldier. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might humbly learn to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. Isn't that precious right there? I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Isn't that incredible? I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, am most richly blessed. You know, we got it all figured out. We think this would be the best for us. But we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. He knows what's best. He will withhold when He knows it's not best for us. He will delay when it is best that He delay. He is a good Father. So we trust and we hope in Him. Jesus' parable here, as He's moving out of the Lord's Prayer, is to illustrate the certainty of answers to all Christians' prayers on the basis of sonship. That we're children of God because of the blood of Christ shed for us. And that's how we come to Christ. With boldness and confidence. Because of who Jesus is, not because we deserve it. That's why we can go boldly and confidently into the throne room. Because of Christ, we are children of God. We go to Dad, to Father. And what Jesus is also teaching here is He's calling us to actively pursue the answers to our prayers in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the verse we read. Take a look. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Did you ever see the progression there? Look at the progression. Asking is the simplest form and it requires no movement. I can sit down and I can ask, God, make this happen. God, would you do this? It's a petition. The word that's used here that Jesus uses is a word that is used for a petition addressed by an inferior to a superior. So when He says ask, seek, knock, that's the perspective that Jesus is using. He's using the particular words that say this is from an inferior to a superior. These words that Jesus uses in the original language, He never uses regarding His own petition to the Father. That's interesting. So it's a little study in the Greek and things like that. So He never uses those particular words in the same way that when He makes requests to the Father. Because that's not true. It's not inferior request from an inferior to a superior, because we know that we have a triune God. And they are equal in deity and in nature. So there's no a superior inferior. So then it goes and it says, okay, now you ask, and then what's the next thing you do? Seek. Seeking is another step. This is, I think, where a lot of us as believers can fall short. We just make the request. But we're not seeking. We're not seeking. Which turns the asking into an activity of pursuit. In other words, we take action. God, would you please provide a job? Then go look for one. Seek. God, I'm asking that you would grant salvation to my neighbors. Well, I'm going to now make effort towards that. I'm going to seek that, the answer to that prayer. God, would you provide whatever it might be? Lord, I'm not sure what to do here, so give me wisdom. So what do? We seek wisdom. We go get counsel. We don't just pray and hope it just falls out of the sky. Sometimes that will happen, but we see this progression in our prayer. Ask God. Seek, seek, seek. Follow through with that. Do what you can. Do what you can. I would like to say here that seeking, whenever we look in Scripture, is primarily focused on seeking the Lord. Okay? So that's where we see the primary seeking. Seeking God. Lord, is this your will? God, where does this line up in your word? Is this something that I can clearly see? No, God would not want me to do this because it doesn't line up with His word. You don't have to seek anything farther. You realize, oh, whoa, my request is not biblical. God's not going to answer that because it's not, it won't bring Him honor and glory. So what happens is we seek God, and that seeking is primarily seeking Him. As we make these prayer requests, we primarily are seeking God and following through with action that we need to do. Now what happens is this. is that a lot of times God brings us to a place, right? In His goodness and His kindness, we have asked Him in prayer. We're seeking, we're pursuing Him, we're looking for counsel, and all of a sudden it appears that's it. So what do? We move on that direction that God has given us. We've sought His face, we've asked Him, and we sense, you know what, this is what I think I'm supposed to do, God. And so we knock and we say, okay, God, is this what you desire? Is this what you want for my life? Knocking signifies a response to what is found when we're seeking. It's a response that we have to God. You know, maybe that is walk away from the job or apply for the job, whatever it might be. And what we do is this, and this is another, when we look at this dynamic, this is another challenge that we have. We take the action that we sense God wants us to take. Okay? This is what I'm going to do. And you know what we do then? We trust. We trust. We just trust God. You know what? I've asked you, Lord. I've sought wisdom and counsel and you, Lord, in this whole thing. And I think this is the direction and this is what we should do or this is how we should handle this situation. Now I'm going to move forward in that. But you know what, God? Ultimately, I'm going to trust you. This is. I'm hoping that this is your direction. I've really interceded for it and stepped through it. Now I'm trusting you. You are my God. You are almighty. You are sovereign. You are loving. You care for me. You're my Father. And Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I'm scared because I lost my job, or I'm whatever because I heard this from the doctor. Lord, I'm trusting you now. And you know what? Do what you will when you choose to do it. But I'm trusting in you. See, it always comes back to hoping in Christ, not even the answer to our prayer. It comes back to, Lord, you are my delight. My greatest desire in my life is to honor you in everything that I do. So I'm praying and I'm asking because this is where my heart is at. And I'm following through with seeking an answer and trying to discern your will in my life. And then I'm taking out these steps. And then, God, I'm trusting you. So if it doesn't come out the way you thought it would, maybe even the way you think God said it would, you still trust God. Say, you know what, God, because I've got a loving Heavenly Father who's only going to give me the best. And He knows what's best because He's all wise. So I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to come back to this place of hope and trust because of who He is, not because of me. And that's the gospel, trusting in Jesus, not my own efforts. And so we come to this place of trusting. So then we stop, right? We just stop. Ask, seek, knock, and then whatever happens, happens. You know what's interesting about these three words? Is the tense that they're written in the original Greek. Because we would think, well, we just got to do that once, right? We don't want to badger God. We don't want to be like that guy who keeps knocking on the door until his friend finally gives up. So I got to, you know, I don't want to do that. So should I just keep, you know, I'll just do it once. But that's not the context here. What we find is this, that we're called, according to this section of Scripture, the way these words are written, that these are in what they call present tense, which means this should be a continuous action. So what that means is that we need to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking until the answer comes. Until it comes in a way that you know that God is clearly saying yes or no. Or if you sense in your spirit that God's telling you, stop praying about this. Maybe what happens is through your continually asking, seeking, and knocking, you realize that this prayer request is really self-centered. And it's not going to glorify God. And so in that sense, you go, oh, time to stop, because it's really about me, not God. Or you die. You die. You know, obviously, it's done then. But, you know, we give up way too easy. We give up way too easy. This is especially true, I think, many times with parents and their children. You know, the answer doesn't come in 10 years. So we go, how long do I have to pray? You know what? One more day. One more day. Every day, that's the answer. One more day. You know, because we look and we go, wow, that's such a huge, how will that ever happen? It's going to take forever. And you know what? That can overwhelm me. So I say, you know what, God, I can pray one more day. And every day, that's the same answer. You know what? God, would you please do this miracle? I'm going to keep asking you. Keep seeking. Keep knocking over and over and over until you say stop, Dan, or give that answer. But you know what? Sometimes we can only do that a day at a time because we'll get overwhelmed. I've been praying for this for 20 years. Uh-huh. Why? Why does God do that? He's a loving Father. Why does He delay the answer to prayer sometime? Why? I mean, we're so used to this fast food world we live in. It was terrible when McDonald's hit the bricks. You know, I go back to that time. I was so excited. I was a little kid. We went to McDonald's for the first time. You could pull up and my dad could order something and we'd drive forward and in 1 minute we'd have our food. It was incredible. And it started this whole domino effect of us just wanting everything now. And when it doesn't happen, we have no persistence in anything anymore. If it doesn't happen right now, then it can't be worth waiting for. Clearly, what is God trying to work in holding off on an answer to prayer? I want to say this, that persistence in prayer is not to change God's perceived insensitivity or unwillingness. See, that's the picture we see in the man coming to his friend. Persistence in prayer is not for the purpose of changing what is we would perceive as God's insensitivity or unwillingness, but rather it changes the heart and the actions of the person praying. You see, even in God's delay, we see His goodness, that He's working something in us. It's something He's doing in us. Do you trust Him? Do you hope in Him when the answer is not there? Our sense of need and dependence of God has a tendency to be removed when the answer to prayer occurs, doesn't it? We just move on to the next thing. Oh, okay, thanks. You know, it's like a kid in a store. Oh, can I have that? Yep, okay, good. And now what do? Are we worried about that anymore? Nope. But if parents says, no, don't do that, what happens to our kids? We're three aisles down and they're still talking about that box of cereal or whatever, right? And so many times it's that perceived need that they have or perceived whatever. And it's the same thing in prayer. God in His goodness delays the answer many times because He's working something in us. He's doing something in our own hearts. In our relationship with Him, it may have nothing to do with that particular situation that we're praying about. But God is working something deep in our hearts saying, will you trust me? Will you hope in me? Will I be your joy, even if you don't see an answer? It firms up our foundation of faith, makes us strong, and it changes our hearts. It's during those times when we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and we still don't have an answer, and God starts saying, is this really for my glory, Dan, or is this really about your glory? Then you start saying, you know what, God, it really is about me. And you know what? It's God in His kindness sometimes it just blesses us with those things. Because He's a good Father. You know, I know candy isn't always good for my kids, but every now and then you give it to them, right? I think sometimes that's why God is with us. He'll say, you know what? Yeah, I know. Your motives maybe aren't the purest, Dan, but I'm just going to bless you. He doesn't see any harm in it. He's hoping. Are you seeing that? And you see, God is working something in us when He delays. What it is, I don't know. Ask Him. He's a good, good Father. Let me ask you this question. Is there a prayer you've stopped praying? You know, one of those that you prayed all the time, and maybe the enemy came in and convinced you, God doesn't hear. God doesn't care. You know, it was one of those prayers that was passionate on your heart, and you gave up. It was 15 years, and I just didn't see a change. Get back on the horse. Start praying. You know, and as I said earlier, if you're overwhelmed because it's been so long, then all you can do is put it in perspective and say, today I can pray for this. How long will it take? Will it be another 15 years? I don't know. Another 30 years? I don't know. But I can pray it for today. And I can put my hope in Christ, saying, you know what? You always give me what's best because you're my good, good Father, Lord. You will never give me anything that will harm me in any way. It may stretch me. It may cause some things to happen in my life that are uncomfortable. But ultimately, you only have my good and your glory in mind, God. And we rest in that. We just rest and we come to that place. So is there a prayer you've stopped praying? My challenge to you today is pick it up again and start praying, hoping in Jesus. Take it one day at a time and persevere and persist without doubting the Father's love. He cares. You matter to Him. You're His child if you're a believer today. And He will always, always answer your prayers. Please know that this little section of Scripture, when we get to this, so many times is taught that the main focus is on persistence of prayer. That's not the main focus here. It's part of what is being said, but it's not the main focus. It's primarily talking and promising that a Christian's prayer does not go unheard or unanswered. That's Jesus' point here. I hear, I'm answering. Will you trust me with the answer? And we will always get the answer to that prayer in a way that is best for us and will most glorify God. We say that's what we want in our life. This is one of the ways that God provides that. So you know what? We can be confident in this truth that when we pray as believers, God will always answer. Maybe not the way we want Him to, but He will always answer for what is best for us and for His glory. We can be confident in that truth. You know why? It was something that John touched on last week that we find in Romans. Because if He didn't withhold the most precious gift, Jesus, why would He withhold anything else from us that is good for us? It's the greater lesser again. Why would He do that? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. Take a look. God's word to close this message. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? He said, it's confounding. Why would you think God would ever withhold something good from you? He gave you Jesus, the most precious one. Everything else is lesser, relatively. And in 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of Him. Notice it says, according to His will. We're going to talk about that in the future. But we have this confidence that God hears, and He will answer according to His will. And finally, in Psalm, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. We walk uprightly not because we are perfect, but because of who Christ is for us. The cross again. So would God, your Heavenly Father, withhold any good thing from you? No. So why does it seem I'm not getting it yet? Ask God. Keep pressing in. Trusting Him. Keep asking. But He will not withhold. Your Father will not withhold from you, His children, any good thing that would be best for you and bring Him glory. Never. That's not who God is. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand before You in awe of Your greatness and Your goodness to us. That we as Your enemies, You, by Your grace and mercy, drew us to Yourself. And Jesus would die for our sins. Lord, You have given us the greatest gift possible, salvation, a right relationship with You. God, how could we think that You would ever not give us what is best for us, that You would withhold good things from us when You have given us the greatest gift of all. So Lord, we stand in awe of You today as children looking forward to an inheritance secured to for us by the cross, and just delighting in the fact that we are your children. Would you change our hearts so that as we struggle with believing that you would only give us good things, that we would press on, be persistent in our prayer, and put our hope in you, God. And we pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen.